Hey y'all, welcome back. I just wanted to hop on here before today's episode started playing and let you know that as we were recording, we had a few technical difficulties with our mics at the very beginning. Thankfully, we were able to correct these difficulties as we jumped into recording, but as a result, we had to clip the very beginning of the audio. We didn't catch it until we were listening and trimming and editing later on. But you didn't miss anything, but as you start listening to today's episode, it'll sound a little funny. All you missed was me just saying that I was having a guest on the show for the day, and then we jump right in. Hopefully, you'll be able to figure out pretty easily who my guest is. So in the meantime, thank you for listening as always. Sit back, relax, and enjoy today's podcast. I feel like we're just talking on the phone or something.
Big facts.
Yeah. Anyway, so normally when I do an episode, I jump right in. I fill people in on what's going on in our family, but I had a mini episode. Nothing new's really happened. So I thought I would do something new this episode. There's a lot going on in the world right now. I know people are stressed. I know just this weekend, a lot of people found out that their what they thought was going to be their 14-day quarantine is now extended. I know the state of Alaska, North Carolina, they've put 30-day shelter-in-place orders, which means basically it's going to be a bumpy ride, pilgrim, so hold on to your hats and stay put. So I wanted to start the episode with a little segment that I'm going to call the smile segment, because I think we all need a little bit of a smile right now. Don't judge me, okay? Hey, it's better than than quarantinis, okay? It's better than quarantinis.
I'm sorry.
Guys, I got hardcore judged for coming up with that name by my husband. Man. I've never seen such a deep eye roll as he gave me when I jokingly told him, I'm going to call the mini episodes quarantinis. And he was like, really? I was like, well, I thought that was funny.
Look, man, I just, oh, heavens.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know about you. I love during hard times when you have those moments that you see and it just makes you smile. So let's talk about some good things that are happening right now through all of this. I've seen some pretty neat stuff on Facebook over the last week. Despite the situation, I've seen a lot of people really stepping up. Something that really made me smile, and I think part of this is just because I'm a mom and I have kids, and a lot of my friends' kids are impacted by what's going on. But a lot of different states in different school districts, teachers are piling into their cars and doing caravans through the neighborhoods where their students live, with signs, and they're honking their horns, and all the kids are coming out and they're waving at them and just really encouraging them as they're all at home studying right now and just reminding their students that they love them. I saw a video of a kindergarten teacher who went around delivering little at-home school packets to her kindergarten students, and they were able to open the door and she was able to talk to them, and I just thought that was super sweet. So that made me smile. Also, shout out to all these school cafeteria workers who are still working super hard every day to provide lunches for these kids. Free lunches. The school system is still doing this, even though these kids are home. And so parents are able to go pick up lunches for their kids every single day. Also, I've seen a lot of kids who are working to make money around the house and things like that. There was a little boy who was doing extra chores at home. His mom had actually started a system at home, a snack system. You do a chore, you earn snacks worth different points. And he went to his mom and he said, you know, this is a super great idea, but I don't need this many snacks. So could we actually do it like a chore system where I earn money and I want to buy teddy bears for all the kids in the hospitals who are stuck there with this virus, which thankfully there's not very many kids, but that was his heart. And that made me smile. So even though there's, you know, kind of stressful, scary stuff going on right now, there's some silver linings, and I'm really enjoying seeing those and just kind of seeing the way that the communities and our country is coming together in a time of stress. And I think that we have a tendency to do that during situations like this. You know, we've seen communities come together during times like 9/11 and all kinds of stuff. And so it's really especially neat to see it now when literally not just one community, but the whole entire world is in the same boat. So that's really special.
Yeah.
So just some stuff to make you smile.
Yeah. I just find it funny that today's society, before coronavirus, you didn't see a single soul outside, and all of a sudden coronavirus and people are on quarantine for 14 days and all they do is spend their time outside.
I know, isn't it funny? I'm really hoping that I'm hoping that all of this will really help change even ours, you know, your and my perspective on the value of family and spending time together and how we can use that time better. And maybe it'll just encourage people to be more active and outside and doing things with their family and getting creative. You know, I even know as a mom, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, but I have a really bad tendency some days. I'm just tired and worn out and I have stuff to do, and letting the TV, letting the TV be a babysitter. And so maybe this will just be a really great opportunity for parents to realize that, you know, you're a parent for a reason and you're equipped and your kids think you're awesome. And taking time for your kids is important and they love it. And it's okay to be goofy and silly and do something that may seem super stupid to you because they're going to appreciate it anyway. So, all right. So today's topic, I'm super excited. We've tried to record this a couple times. This will be the successful time. But today we wanted to talk about... today we wanted to talk about adoption. And this is a topic that's near and dear to both my husband and my heart, not just because we're big advocates for it. Our family right now, not our family, not Tyler and my family, but my sister and brother-in-law have adopted children. I have adopted siblings, but Tyler and I were both adopted too. And so it's really interesting, both of us being adopted, when we connected, that was, I think, the one thing that really connected us and really started our friendship was the fact that we were having a conversation. And I'm pretty sure it was you who made the comment about, oh, I'm adopted. And I was like, so am I. And I'm pretty sure I thought you were kidding. Yeah. And then as we talked, we discovered like, oh no, like we both really are adopted. And I think that was really the foundation for our really good friendship that continued through college. Cause I remember when I met my biological family, I remember telling you about that and reaching out to you. No, we were both in college at the time. So yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about adoption. We'll share a little bit of our adoption stories, you know, kind of the before we were here on Earth, and then kind of go into, you know,
I'm sorry, just how you said that, just before we were here on Earth. Well, I mean, that's a very relative statement.
Anyway, and then we'll talk a little bit about what it was like growing up as an adopted kid, because I think that there are certain obstacles and things that we kind of had to deal with and overcome as kids that normally you wouldn't. I have lots of friends who were not adopted, who lived with their biological parents growing up. And they've asked me like, oh, you know, did you ever think this? Did you ever think that? And I was like, well, yeah, didn't you? They're like, no. I was like, oh, okay. That's fine. I'm the weirdo.
So I guess it's just me then. That's fine.
Now I just look crazy because I thought that.
It's all your fault.
Yeah. And then we're going to share the stories about meeting our biological family and just share a little bit about how now we kind of merged our families, because we have a pretty big mixed family over here.
Oh, yeah. Huge. Yeah. Honestly. It's a very huge mixed family, but at the same time, I don't know. I feel like we all just like really get along with each other. And I think it's because we're all adopted. You know what I'm saying? Like with you, your sister and your brother, and then me and my two brothers, like we just get along really, really well. And I just think it's because we are so, because we're all different and we're all the same.
Yeah.
At the same time.
There's something I was going to add, but I'll just wait until we talk about our families a little bit later on. So I'm going to write it down so I don't forget it. But adoption story. Okay, I'll give mine first because I think it's a little bit shorter than yours. Yours is a little bit more complex than mine.
Yeah, mine's a lot more complex.
So my biological mom, Courtney, she was 18 in high school when she found out she was pregnant with me. And originally she had planned to keep me and raise me. And through just different events in life, she decided that she knew what she wanted for me. And that was a two-parent family that could provide everything for me and more. And the one thing that I really liked when she shared her side of the story with me was that she had things provided for her that she could have absolutely given me so much. But she realized that the one thing she couldn't give me was a dad. And so she went to an adoption agency that no longer exists, unfortunately, but New Hope Adoption Agency, which was a Christian agency, met with a counselor, looked through some files, and found my parents. And met my parents and fell in love with them. And she decided later on in her pregnancy to go through with the adoption process because it was not her original intent. And so then when I was born in February, I was a late baby. I was supposed to be born, I believe it was Valentine's Day. And then I didn't come, and they were going to induce her on February 29th. And I was born on February 27th because I decided I would not be a leap year baby. I would not. And if you know me now, you know that I love birthdays, not just my own. I love everybody's birthday, but especially my own. So I think if I had been born on a leap day, I would have been devastated as a child. But, so growing up, my parents never hid from me that I was adopted. I had a whole album of pictures of my biological family on my mom's side. There was nothing that was ever hidden. My parents always answered my questions. I remember in their office, they had these filing cabinets, and they had a whole file from the adoption agency with information packets about both of my biological parents and their families, health history, letters that my biological grandmother and my mom had written me. I remember for a while, there were some things that my parents just didn't feel I was ready to have shared with me yet because I was so young. And I remember in high school, as I started to get more curious, I knew where this file was. And I would go into their office and pull the file out and start looking through it. And I'll never forget the one time I looked in there and there was a new piece of mail in the file. And I pulled it out, and it was an invitation to Courtney's college graduation. She got her RN, and I remember being super proud of her. And of course, on the invitation, certain information was blacked out because there was only certain things that were in the agreement that we knew. So like, we didn't know, we knew kind of generally where they lived, but we didn't know exactly. They didn't know our last name. We didn't know their last name kind of thing. It just wasn't included, but someone had forgot to black out her last name on the graduation invitation. So I remember at like 16 looking her up on the internet to see if I could find her. And I'm pretty sure I found her like once just to see pictures. But besides that, really just my knowledge of her came from what my parents shared with me because they had had a relationship with Courtney prior to my birth. And then even after, she wrote several letters about just her experiences the several months after I was born, going to therapy and getting counseling and how her life moved on. So those are really interesting to read. But yeah, I knew my whole entire life that I was adopted, and my parents always had wonderful things to say about her. And yeah, that's pretty much my adoption story. It's kind of nice and clean cut and simple. I mean,
yeah,
sure, there's some the nitty gritty dirt underneath the, you know, underneath the table, but that's not, it's not important. So it's nothing life changing.
Yeah. It's nothing. it's nothing crazy. Like, again, like, yeah. I think a lot of the nitty-gritty stuff can get left out of the picture.
Yeah, well, I think on both ends. In my case, the nitty-gritty wouldn't have changed the story anyway. Like, the one thing I love about my mom, and I definitely got that from her, is that we're both very strong-willed. She made the decision to go with adoption for me, and she stuck with it. And there were people who told her don't do it. Yeah. And she was like, okay, thanks for your opinion. You know, my life. So,
well, that's nice.
You know, the nitty gritty of the story wouldn't have changed a single thing for her. And I'm really thankful for that. So,
yeah. I really, after meeting your mom, I 100%, 100% know why you are the way you are now.
I think the best compliment we've ever gotten is, oh, is this your sister?
Yeah, I know. That was kind of funny.
Okay, so now here's your challenge. I just told my adoption story in 6 minutes.
Oh, in 6 minutes? Let's go ahead. Let's call the cattle line on in home and just let everybody know that you're going to be here for a while. So kick your feet up. Get a good blanket. Grab a cup of coffee. You know, grab tea if that's your drink of choice, or warm milk. You know, if that's your preference. But
if you're a baby,
I'll try to keep it short and sweet. But basically, I was adopted at a young age. You know, at birth. No, I got adopted when I was 17. Let's just go. I'm kidding. Sorry. stop. You're making me laugh. I can't get my thoughts straight. This is your fault. You wanted this. Oh, okay. I was adopted like 3 or 6 months after birth. I was adopted. For reason being is that my birth mom could not find my birth dad. My birth dad had gotten out of the Air Force on a medical retirement. He was working up in Washington, and my birth mom was down in Arizona in Tucson where they had met. And this is my birth dad's words, not mine. He says, I met your mother. I loved your mother. I wanted to be with your mother so bad, but he was in the middle of a divorce with his wife. And he already had 2 kids. So he didn't even know that I existed. One day he just kind of got a phone call from an old friend that they all used to hang out with and said, hey, you need to call Anna, who's my birth mom. So he called her and they had a conversation. She said, I had a baby and it's yours. He goes, oh, you had a baby? She goes, yes. So I had a baby on May 10th. This year, and now it's August. I need your address so I can send you the adoption paperwork. I found a family, but here's a package to come look at it. So she sent him the package up to Seattle, our Washington area. He looks it over. He knew her well enough to know that she also was very strong-willed, and she had made up her mind that it was the best option to give me life and to allow another family to raise me and give me all the opportunities that a two-parent household would. So I get adopted by my family, who's a naval officer and a music teacher. My father was in the Navy. My mom was a music teacher. So, and that's where I spent my entire life up until last year. Yeah, it was last year. Where I finally found my birth parents, found my mom first, but then I talked to my dad first over the phone for like 4 hours. And then in August of last year is when we met my birth mom and my biological brother, or half brother, and my aunt. So, I mean, is that too vague or should I go on?
No, I mean, you told that in 12 minutes, so I'm actually very impressed.
Really? I don't even think I did that in 12 minutes, because when I looked down, it was at 16.
Oh, no, you're right. Sorry. You're right. It was.
I did that in three.
Very impressive. I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't math today, so.
You can't math ever.
Yes, I can. I have a calculator.
Yeah, well, you know what? Not everybody has a calculator in the world, Karina.
Yeah. Okay, so now last thing.
So okay. It was very interesting to me. It was very interesting to me because my birth mom was actually adopted. So when I found out all this information about my birth parents, I knew quite a bit about my family before anything happened, honestly, because it was an open adoption. So every year, my dad would have me and my brothers who are adopted write letters to our birth parents. And my dad would send them over to the adoption agency, and the adoption agency would send them off to the birth parents until we were legally allowed to look for them at 18. But I always asked questions when I knew I was adopted. I think I asked about adoption, if I was adopted, like when I was like probably 6 or 7. I think so. Or I think my parents told me. But for the years and years on, conversations about my parents and my family and the bloodline that I come from always came up in conversation. So in a way, I felt like I knew my birth parents and I knew my birth family without actually ever meeting them, which is probably why it took me so long to actually find them, is because my attitude was, I'm good. I know enough about them to kind of get by and I'm good to go. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I wasn't, you know, like you've mentioned to me before that there was like this hole in your life that just needed to be filled and you couldn't figure it out. For me, I never really, it might sound really bad, but I never really had that. And I think it's because I was older and I'd been in the Marine Corps for almost 6 years. So my life had been, you know, I wasn't young when I found my birth parents. I had 3 kids. Yeah, we had 3 kids when I met my birth mom. So I was on a completely different mode of life, you know, but you met your mom, you know, out of college. Like, so I don't know. I just think our differences, and that might make me sound like a real jerk for saying that I just didn't care. But that's my, if people know who I am, like my brain focuses towards what's directly in front of me, not what's all around me, which could be bad at some point or another, but it is what it is. But all right, so that's 6 minutes.
Okay. So next, let's talk about growing up as an adopted kid. I don't know about you. I actually grew up with a lot of adopted kids, which is really strange to me because now as an adult with children, I have yet to meet a single family besides my sister who has an adopted child.
I think she might be the only one I know right now in adult life.
Yeah, I mean, even people who we've gone to church with and military families, I know there are some that exist, but I have not met anyone else who was adopted since maybe my sophomore year in college. So now, you know, when people ask about myself and they're like, oh, yeah, how'd you meet? Oh, I met my husband at college. We connected because we're both adopted. They kind of look at me like, wait, for real?
Yeah, they're like, what?
Because, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, how'd you meet your husband? Oh, I met him in a dunk tank. Like, I threw the ball and dunked him in the dunk tank. Just kidding. Haha, that's not really how it happened. You know, I don't know. Like, I've had so many people do that.
He helped me bring my groceries to the car.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, how'd you meet your husband? And they'll be like, oh, he found me with a glass slipper. And I'm like, what? And they're like, it's a joke. I'm like, okay.
We have a Cinderella story.
And then they're all like, right, how'd you meet? And I'm like, we're adopted. And they're like, ha ha ha. And I was like, no, really.
No, seriously.
Or then, like, we'll be in a room sometimes. And this is my favorite one. We'll be in a room with people who have no idea about us. And they'll say something. And one of us will pretend to get super offended and we'll be like, you can't say that. And then you'll be like, I'm adopted. Or we'll like make an adopted joke and they'll be like, and then we'll be like, I can make that joke. I'm adopted. And they're like, oh, and you're like, I'm not really this insensitive jerk. Like, I can make that joke. Sorry.
We had a joke growing up with our family, with my mom specifically. Whenever we would do something stupid, we'd always say like, "Oh, you're not wearing my jeans." And it was just, it's dumb. I'm not, okay, that wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. Okay,
but it's funny when your mom says it. It makes me laugh when your mom says it. And I think it's just because of your mom's personality. Like, your mom is so sweet.
My mom is an actress.
Like, I love your mom. I really feel like I got blessed with the set of mother-in-laws that I have, because I have friends who are like, my mother-in-law is horrible. And I'm like, I'm just going to go over here because this is awkward, because mine's great. Okay.
Yeah, mine's awesome.
Yeah. But your mom, like, she just has such this great personality. So when she makes little witty comments like that, you're just like, oh.
You're like, oh, you have a sense
not
of
only,
humor.
Not only are you funny, you just burned him. Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, you know, whatever. But it's really funny because my mom just makes she makes very witty comments, but at the same time, like, they're calculated. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're very calculated. She makes a lot of music jokes.
She does, and I don't get half of them.
I know, but they're funny to me because I'm, you know, I grew up playing music, so it doesn't bug me at all.
Okay, so growing up as an adopted kid, favorite things that people would say to you or questions they would ask you? Mine were, so who's your real parents? I had kids. I went to school with kids who were straight up bullied. Like, in elementary school. Like, I don't know what was going on in these kids' home life, but they were bullies in, like, second and third grade. Like, what? And they would try to be, like, really snotty and, like, nasty. And they'd be like, oh, yeah? Well, who's your real parents? And I'd be like, you sound really dumb right now. The people I live with are my real parents? You're dumb. So that was always one of my favorites. Let's see what else. I'm trying to think. I think really that was the biggest question people asked. I think more than anything, the stuff that was different for me that I dealt with growing up was just personal stuff. So like I love my parents. I have a great relationship with my parents. My mom and I talk on the phone every single day, even with us living here in Japan. We talk every day. She was a stay-at-home mom. She was a teacher, and she just had a really great relationship with us. I know we had our tiffs, and, you know, we had our stages and all of that in life. But from the time I was 16 on, we were really close. And I was really close with my dad. And I like you. No,
you
I'm thinking. I sighed. Sorry, that wasn't a yawn. I sighed. I'm thinking. Uh-huh. Don't judge me, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. But, well, anyways, so mom stayed at home. Dad gone. Good relationship.
I think my struggle came, and you said this earlier, but I really did feel like even though I had two amazing parents who connected with us on a really great level, and we had such a good relationship, and we had everything we could have ever wanted and more, that we were lacking for nothing. I always felt like there was part of me and who I was as a person that didn't make any sense. And growing up, I struggled with some health stuff, and I think I felt different already. And I think that then there was just parts about my personality and even how I looked. I felt really insecure growing up about how I looked, because I think just a lot of it didn't make sense to me because I didn't look like my parents. There was a point in time where my brother and I would get asked if we were twins, which was really weird. Because we're 3 years apart and he's way taller than I am. But there was a little bit of time where we did look a little bit alike. But besides that, like, I just felt like there was a part of me that didn't fit in as well as I wanted to. And so I kind of struggled to grasp for that identity in myself. And I think that that's more of a girl thing than a guy thing. And you just, you want to know. And especially as I got older and in college, I struggled with some health stuff through my freshman year. I think I just kind of, I wanted to know because I knew at some point I wanted to get married and have kids of my own. And I, there were just a lot of questions that I had that I needed answered before I could move into that stage of life. So I think that was really the hardest thing for me. But it doesn't mean that I didn't appreciate my parents or I didn't love them or didn't want to have a relationship with them. I absolutely did. But I still just for me and learning who I was and learning about myself, meeting my biological family changed my perspective. And it was really helpful for me to just kind of put pieces of the puzzle into place and learn about myself so I wasn't confused anymore, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I've got there.
You do yawn a lot.
I didn't yawn. My goodness, you're so judgmental.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But that's all I've got to add there. I didn't know if you had anything else to add.
No, I think with me and my parents is like my relationship with my folks are, I think we have a pretty good relationship. I just suck at communicating with them. So, it's just, you know, I growing up, me and my father had a pretty good relationship. But it was also very one-sided. My dad pushed me hard. I'm not going to lie. Like my dad really did push me pretty hard. And now that I'm older, it makes sense. And now that I have kids, I'm just like, aha, this is why, like, you know, try to fix the little stuff now. Which is what my dad was trying to do. He was trying to fix the little stuff so the big things wouldn't seem so, you know, big. But I don't know. My mom was a stay-at-home mom for a while. Definitely helped out my dad with running the business and, you know, just kind of the everyday life. But she homeschooled us, which was nice to an extent. You know, a lot of kids, like, definitely were just like, oh, you're adopted? Oh, and you're homeschooled? Like, your parents want to keep you in the house all day? And I'm like,
what a weirdo.
I don't think that's the reason at all. I know, right? But I didn't ever feel adopted or homeschooled. Like, that was the crazy part. It's like, yeah, I did school at home, but I did everything else that everybody else did. Like you know, the two major things that happen in a kid's life, adopted and homeschooled, two hard things that happened in life, and I didn't feel either way about it. So I just, you know, I played basketball, hockey for the high schools. Like, I worked on a horse ranch. Like, I mean, everything that happened in my life was perfectly normal. And at the end of the day, like, I don't know. Like, again, I never felt like there was something missing. You know, kids I told I was adopted and they didn't say nothing to me about it. I did have the question, who are your real parents? Mm-hmm. Though? That was always a fun one. I'm like, oh, well. And I had information to give them. You know, I even had a name, like Anna and Sean. I knew who my birth parents were. Like, I had names. I knew who my grandfather was. I knew who my grandma was. I knew that they were you know, I knew my grandfather was a composer. My grandmother was super tall. And I knew there was a possibility that I might have another sibling out there somewhere. So, you know, my information was of my family was all I was worlds different than what you had. So, I don't know. I just think, yeah.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. but
I think it's interesting now as an adult to have conversations with people. I've actually been in people who are conversating who don't know that I'm adopted. And I think those are the most interesting conversations to listen in on, because I have sat in and heard people talk about, you know, oh, I don't understand why someone would choose adoption. You know, why would they give their,
I mean,
why would they give their baby up? And it's not, you're not giving your baby up. I never felt, I think I had a tiny, like maybe a year long stage, and I was really young, where I kind of struggled with the whole like, well, why would she give me away? And I want to say I was like 7 or 8. So I was really at an age where I was at that threshold of understanding what had happened. And I think when you're an adopted kid, I think when you're a kid at any age, you kind of go through this threshold of understanding age where you start to differentiate between just what you comprehend as a little kid and reality. And it kind of comes together then, and it all makes sense to you. And so I was struggling with the whole, and I think this was about the time where I was dealing with stuff at school where kids were saying things like, well, who's your real parents? And I would just be really upset about it. And I think I went through this stage where I was like, well, I don't understand. Like, why would somebody give their child away? Like, da da da. And it was just for about a year. But it was at that age where I really couldn't differentiate, you know, that's not what adoption is. And what Courtney wanted for you was a mom and a dad. And you couldn't have a mom and a dad in that situation. Mm-hmm. And so she chose this for you. But it doesn't mean she's not your mom. It doesn't mean she doesn't love you. She did it because she loves you. And so just that age, I went through that stage. But now as an adult, it's really interesting because I feel like there is no in between. You're either strong, oh, I think adoption is great, it's so good, or they're in this kind of black hole. And I think the black hole is just from a lack of understanding what adoption is. I don't think anybody is actually opposed to the idea of adoption. I think they don't understand it.
Yeah.
Because I've met people I've met people who have said things like, well, someone giving their baby up, like, that's ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. Or just saying, you know, not necessarily negative remarks, but as someone who's adopted, I just kind of pick up on it as, okay, they just don't understand. And so then you have a conversation with them and you're like, well, are you against adoption? Well, no, but it's just confusing. Okay, so it's not that you're against it, you just don't understand it. And so... yeah.
You just don't understand it. Yeah, I feel like that's 90% of the conversation.
And so it's just interesting as an adult now to hear that perspective, because I'm not an adoptive parent. We don't have a child who's adopted. We are adopted. And then you add the element of you were adopted, I was adopted, we got married and had children of our own. And so I think that's totally different too. I know for me going through pregnancy, there were times where it was really odd to talk to my mom about my pregnancy because she'd never experienced that. And that's not a bad thing. Yeah. But I didn't know how to explain things to her. And so, you know, there's that aspect too. There's just a lot of different aspects that you carry with you through life. And none of them are necessarily negative. Mm-hmm. It's just something else you have to navigate and kind of get creative with. And in the end, it all works out.
I think that's kind of the weird, I've had people ask me, my parents have asked me, it's like, have you thought about adoption? And I can honestly tell them, like, actually, yes, like, yes, that the conversation of adopting a child has come up in our lives. I just feel like for us right now, it is a terrible time to do that because we are in such a transitional phase in life. And I'm not saying transitional and like life is changing,
right?
But I'm in the Marine Corps. So every 3 years we're going to move. So we can go from Okinawa, Hawaii, California, and North Carolina. That's where I can get stationed at as an active duty Marine in the Fleet Marine Force. And each area has a different law for adopting. So if we were to get adoption rights in Lejeune and we're currently working a case, because it takes a while, like it's not like an overnight thing, it takes a while, and you have to get vetted and interviewed, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. I just don't think right now would be the time to adopt. Now, fostering, yeah, I'm actually more open to that currently in being in the Marine Corps than I do as a adopting right now. But you and I have talked about it multiple times. It's the fact that we are giving kids the same type of chance that we had as kids, because we were given the chance by our moms, understanding that a two-parent home is the best thing for a child. Now, I understand there's a lot of single women and a lot of single dads out there that are, they're doing it and they're killing it. They're doing a bang up job, but it's not, you can't play mommy and daddy in the same person, you know? Like, if check this out. If you were a single mom right now and you had the three kids that we had, you have to be the caregiver and the disciplinary and the guy who goes out and plays baseball with them in the backyard. And you have to be the one to take care of their boo-boos and, you know, feed them and make sure they're well cared for and all this other stuff. And by the end of the day, you're smoked. And even if you're as a single parent, you're going to have a job to provide. So you're smoked at the end of the day. So, you know, the single parents, y'all have my utmost respect. Yeah, because
we have 100%. Three kids, and there are days where my husband works all day. He leaves at 5 a.m. and comes home at 10 p.m., and I've done it all. And, yeah, for single parents who do that day in and day out, nonstop, never get a break, never who sit there knowing my spouse isn't going to walk in that door at 10 p.m., you know, at least I can sit there knowing I've done it all day on my own, but at 10 p.m. my husband's going to walk in the door and I'm going to feel some release of pressure just from the stress of the day. Even if I'm totally exhausted, like we have each other's back and I can text you during the day and just be like, hey, it's a really bad day. Or like you can text me and be like, hey, it's a rough day at work. And like we pray for each other throughout the day and like text each other. And I think that's what keeps us going even on our hardest days. And this is totally off topic, but whatever, you know, I know a lot of single parents, and but back to they're single parents. Like they're seriously my heroes because they're in a very unideal situation, rocking it, and their kids are thriving, and it's awesome. And I applaud you guys because I 100% could not do it. And I have had people be like, well, if your husband deployed, you would single parent. Nope, I'm still not single parenting. I'm just parenting from a distance because my husband is still there to support me. That's not single parenting. That's just military life. But I still have the support of my husband.
Like,
you know, I know at the end of the day, he's coming home in a couple months. Yeah. Their spouse isn't. So... yeah, but for sure, I agree with you on that. I was going to say something else too, but I spaced. So that's okay. We'll move on.
That's right. But what I was getting at was just the single parent life. Like our parents made the conscious decision that it was better to have a two-parent home than try to knock it out on my own. Because my mom was in the middle of college. My mom was trying to get a degree. She was working a full-time job at a restaurant as a waiter. And, you know, she wanted to do it, but at the same time, she knew she couldn't. So she made the conscious decision by her own mindset that it was a good idea to give me the opportunity to live life as a kid without struggle. And I feel like that's where Courtney, your mom, had the same mindset, you know, cause she was young. Both of our moms were very, very young when they had us. So, you know, I thank God that my mom had the mental fortitude to really, you know, understand that she needed to have, she needed to put her kid in a home with, you know, two parents, you know, to have the full balance.
All right. So meeting our parents.
Anyway,
meeting our back parents. I'll make this as concise as possible. Because if you're friends with me on Facebook or follow my Instagram or my blog, you've probably read my posts and stuff about all this. Every National Adoption Month, I share a post about my adoption story because I really love sharing it. But at 18, I could have legally connected with my family, but I was in a really transitional stage of life, graduating from high school. I was moving to California for the summer to be a live-in nanny. And that all happened really quick. I literally had a job lined up for the summer, making $20 an hour, working with kids at a summer camp, to making the flash decision to turn the job down and go be a nanny to help a family for the summer. And it was amazing. And then going off to college for the first time. And I knew in the back of my mind that I wanted to meet them, but there was some hesitation too, because I was like, well, what if I reach out and she's not ready, or she has a different family, like she has a life now and she's just not ready for me to be a part of that. So there was some hesitation. So I kind of just pushed forward, went through college. And on my 19th birthday, my parents took me away for a weekend. We went to Charleston, South Carolina, for my birthday, and I didn't have any internet for the whole weekend, which is really stressful when you're a nursing student, which I was at the time, and I had a lot of work I had to do. But we went away for the weekend, and I didn't have internet, and I came back to school on a Sunday night, and I was checking my messages, and there was a message request from this woman named Bonnie King, and I was like, that's weird. And I started reading this message, and basically she said, I'm your biological grandmother. I found you on Google, which if you know my grandmother, you know that that is 100% her, and you know how funny that is. It's such her personality, and now I know where I get my researcher tendencies from. It's definitely her. And so she had found me on Google and then found me on Facebook and decided to send me a message. And she did it without my biological mom knowing. Courtney had no idea. And so I remember I just sat there in shock. I didn't know what to do. And so I called my mom and I said, well, this happened. What do I do? And she said, and I just remember clear as day, it was probably the calmest I've ever heard my mom be. She just said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to email her back. She said, okay. And my parents were 100% on board, A-level supporters from day one about all this. So I messaged her back. She connected me with Courtney. We started messaging. And then right before, I went home and worked for the summer for Deadliest Catch. And then at the end of the summer, on the way back to school, I had a trip planned. I was going to go to Idaho and meet my college best friend's family. But I stopped in Seattle. And it was really cool because she was able, my college best friend was also with me. That was really special. Just someone that I had that tight bond with in college to be able to be there in that moment when my parents couldn't be there. And they had actually asked me, I think, if they wanted me to come. And it was something I really wanted to do by myself. And it was because I knew I was going to be emotional. And so I flew to Seattle and I met them and it was amazing. I spent 3 days with them. Which was the perfect amount of time for the first time, because I think we were all nervous and there was just a lot of information to get out on the table. And then after that, I went back and spent every Christmas with them when I was in college. We have a great relationship now. My mom is married, my stepdad, Ron, and they have a little boy, Ben, and my stepdad has two older kids from a previous marriage, and they just have an awesome relationship. And she nurse and she kills it. She's amazing. And yeah, we are basically the same person and it's really funny. We look like, we talk like, we walk alike, we have the same interests. And then just, yeah, I mean, she's just amazing. The thing I like about it is that we have a really close relationship and we can go weeks without talking and then text each other and the conversation just continues as if it had never stopped. And we just both have really busy lives. She's a nurse. She has a family. She travels a lot for work when she's not working from home. And Ron owns his own company, so they're just busy with that. And then I'm busy over here with kids and moving and PCSing and 15-hour time difference. And so the nice thing is we can just kind of jump in and have a conversation here and there. But we're still close and and I really, really enjoy it. So it's, yeah, I feel like integrating her family and my grandma and my aunts and uncles and everybody who I met into our family as we got married was really effortless. It was super exciting, but it was also easier mm-hmm. because I knew them before we were ever a thing. So, which was different than your family.
But. Yeah. I think it's just really funny that Ron, being the stepdad, like, kind of gave me the tough man talk, like, a little bit. But I think once he understood, like, who I was. Like,
I appreciate that about him.
He just kind of chilled out. Yeah. So he really, I mean, for being a stepdad, to you at least, you know.
Oh, yeah. Definitely oh, yeah. A good he's fantastic. Figure. Your turn.
Oh, sorry. What am I talking about?
You're terrible. Meeting your family.
Oh, no, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was very emotional meeting the family. My birth mama posted something on Facebook. And it was about family. And she definitely says sometimes family is stronger than blood. And
It was a comic strip from Family Circus. It was about adoption, though.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember exactly what it said, but I was coming home from getting a haircut. Yeah, I was coming home on a Sunday from getting a haircut. And I remember seeing this post. I looked at the post. I was parked when I did this too, so don't freak out. I was not driving and looking at Facebook. I then just kind of sat there for a minute. I remember texting you and saying, mm-hmm. I think I just found my birth parents. And I think my very next phrase was, I'm going to message her. Yeah. I got to ask, you know, it could be something completely off tilt, but somewhere deep down inside, I was like, that's it. That's her. That's my birth mom. That's my mother. So I definitely, I remember texting you and then I texted her and I said, weird, random, off the top wall question. Are you my mother? And she was just like, yes. That was like, it was like a one word text. And I was just like, oh, snap. And I just kind of melted while I was sitting in my truck. And then I came home and I messaged her and I talked to her and she processed everything. She took longer mm-hmm. to process it than I think I did. Because I think it was more of, I was like, well, I've known this for a while, but you know, now that I've asked it, and we're here. Might as well see each other and get it over with. And then we got on the phone over FaceTime like about a week later and she was just like, yeah, so I'm already saving to get tickets to come down to Jacksonville. I was like, whoa, okay, here we go. Like it's like, okay, got it, good to go. So I still haven't officially personally in person met my birth father, but I've had a lot of conversations on the phone with him, which reminds me I gotta call him.
Okay. Tomorrow.
I'm terrible. I'm really terrible at communication. But once she told me that she was going to come down and see me in Jacksonville, she's going to bring my brother Hiram, who's my half brother, who is like a spitting image of me in high school. If you took a picture of me in high school and took Hiram, staff them next to each other, the only thing difference is he's got a bigger nose. That's literally it. Like it's almost mm-hmm. night and day. It's kind of crazy. So we met and I was freaking out the entire day before they rolled in. And then you went down to the gate over at Lejeune and picked them up and brought them on base. And I just remember just getting the biggest hug of all time, to my mom. It was pretty crazy. I didn't know how to feel. Like, I felt relieved that I finally met my birth mom. But then as the week went on, we just clicked. It was really nice. Like, she's a cook. When I say cook, like, she's a chef. Like, she does real heavy duty catering for Fortune 500 companies and stuff like that. So, but we got into the kitchen and we just meshed. It worked out real well. I don't know. Like, I think my experience was like, it was emotional, but it was also, you know, not crazy. Like, it wasn't so off the wall that I didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense whatsoever.
It was really interesting for me to watch that experience as your wife, because ever since we got married, you've talked about meeting them or not meeting them, and you'd gone back and forth so many times.
Yeah,
and I remember you telling me, like, you had talked to me about, you know, why did you meet your family? And I said, well, I felt like something was missing. And you're like, I'm not missing anything. I don't feel like anything's missing. But the timing for all that was really ironic. Because you had spoken at our church, had like a Friday night Bible study, and Tyler had spoken at the Friday night Bible study, and you just kind of got on this tangent and started talking about some things in your family that were a little bit harder for you to talk about. And I remember telling my friend Amanda, I was like, he's really torn up about this, and I just, like, I don't know what to do. And it was that same weekend that you connected with Anna, and within 24 hours of you connecting with her, you were a different person. And so it was really cool. Like, I could just tell, like, there was stress that was just lifted off of you. And I remember that feeling when I connected with my family. But then watching you go through the process of meeting her for the first time was really cool to see as your wife, because I had already been through that. I knew the emotions. I knew the experience. I didn't have to ask you or be annoying. Like, what are you thinking? How are you feeling? You know, trying to understand it. I already did. And so I think it was helpful too, because then other people weren't asking you. They were asking me, you know, how is Tyler? And I could just explain it without even asking, because I already knew. And so then I thought I would be way more emotional than I was when you met Anna. And I'm really glad that I kept it together. But it was still really emotional and super special to see you meet her for the first time and then spend the weekend with them, because it helped me to understand you so much better. Albeit after a couple days, I was like, this is too many Tylers in the room. And y'all need to stop.
But it's true. It's
great. It was. We had a great time.
It was a good time. Like, I was extremely overwhelmed. And I think I was just overwhelmed because I had had any of that type of emotion towards anything in a really long time. I mean, if people who know me understand, like, I keep my emotions deep. Like, it's buried deep, deep, deep. Deep with the cake in my gut. Like, it's just not,
like,
it's not there, you know. People don't no, I didn't, sorry. You want to read it?
But that's another podcast. Anyway.
But my emotions, I just keep them down really, really low. And I think it's just because I mean, call it what it is, but I think I'm just so ingrained in the military. Like, I try to keep my bearing as hard as I possibly can. Like, I really do. Like, it's just, I don't want other people to see my emotions. And it might just be me, but I just don't want people to see my emotions.
And on, like, our next episode together, we'll be talking about keeping it real and raw.
No, we're not. but me meeting my mom for the first time, like my biological mother and my brother and my aunt, I was just like this wave of just relief and sense of, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely a lot of things that I do that, and I say, and how I react to certain things, like, just sometimes to other people are just like, all right, that's a little off the wall. And then I met my mom and I'm just like, aha, makes 1,000% sense now. So even you said that too. You're like, there are too many Tylers in the house. I need this to stop. But for me, it was awesome because there was finally somebody around me that could
just
mesh. Like, I have a lot of great friends. And we click and it's awesome. Like today I was telling you about my buddy Caleb and Lejeune. Like, we click, we mesh, it works out. But now I have my birth mom and I, and we just, it was a little scary. I'm not going to lie. It was a little off tilt for me. Like, just, I was just like, woof, there's quite a bit of Tyler going on right now. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, there's only, I thought I was an original. I am a clone.
Well, here's
I
am absolutely a Star Wars clone. That you've gone through the initial meeting, now every other time is just a visit. And so it's more relaxed. It's not as stressful. And it's more fun. So.
Oh, yeah. So every time we get on the phone now, it's just like, my mom and I talk a lot about cooking because that's just kind of our thing, right? That's our niche. That's what we figured out that works for the both of us. And so I always give her some horrendous recipe that I did. And she's just like, oh, honey. And I'm just like, look, it's not that serious. Like, just let me do my thing. I swear it's going to turn out totally fine.
So now, kind of to end it off, and I think we did touch on this a little bit, but what is it like meshing our families? I think meshing our biological families with our adoptive families and then our family as a married couple is easier than it was to introduce our parents to one another when we got married. And the reason is because I will never forget. This is what I was going to say earlier in the podcast that I was going to save. When we got married, we went up to Alaska. And of course, Tyler has this big, super outgoing personality. My parents had only ever met him at college. I actually went to Arizona and met Tyler's parents when he returned from deployment right after we got engaged, literally the day after we got officially engaged. So I had met them, they had met me, but then they come for the wedding to meet my parents. And the one comment through the whole entire week that kept getting repeated to us, we would go to coffee with my parents and my mom would make comments and she'd be like, Tyler's nothing like his parents, because his parents are very quiet, very just down to earth, really mellow people, very go with the flow personality. And here's Tyler, who's the grade A communicator, really loud, big, tall guy, likes to make jokes. You couldn't lose him in a crowd of 1,000 people if you wanted to. And then there's my parents, who are the very prim and proper, sophisticated, businesslike, hospitable, open home type people. And I'd like to say I got a little bit of that, but I do think in a lot of ways I'm very different than my parents in my personality. And so the one comment we got from both sets of parents is, well, you're nothing like your parents. It just wasn't what we expected. So I think there was a little bit of culture shock the week of our wedding when our parents met and they were like, oh, not in a bad way. Like, they were just like, oh, interesting. That's not what we expected. But now that they've met our biological parents, they understand. And they're like, oh, okay. Now you make more sense. I understand.
Yeah. Well, that was the crazy part, is because my mom and Anna kept in contact with each other. So when my mom went down to Tucson for a music event, she met up with Anna and had lunch with her and had an amazing time, and they just kind of picked up where they left off, because I don't think they'd seen each other since I'd been adopted in 93. So my mom was just like, it was so good to see her. And I'm just like, yeah. She goes, And after she saw me, after she saw Anna for, you know, after all these years, and then me, she goes, oh, yeah, you are 100% her kid. And I was like, yep.
So it's been interesting, and I'm really glad that we've connected our biological families with our family when our kids are younger, because this will just be normal for them. I do think, so right after Addison was born, everyone came and visited.
Yeah.
Your brother, Jonathan and Karina came and visited.
Oh, yeah.
My parents came, Courtney came, and then Anna came. And with the strain of grandparents that came in, 100%. I will say Easton and Wyatt were very confused about who was a grandma and who was a grandpa and who was what. It was really amusing.
Oh,
but now they're getting it, and I think now it's just normal to them.
Yeah.
So it is fun to have that family, and just I love big families. I love having people around. I love having people in our home, and just spending time. I want to do a whole nother episode on love languages with you and I on the same episode, but one of my big love languages that's changed since we've married is mine is quality time. And so having family come visit or going to visit family and just sitting around with a cup of coffee, just talking and enjoying company over food or on a back porch over a fire pit, like, is just so meaningful to me, and having good conversation. And so being able to have that within our family is just really, really special, and something that I've really enjoyed as we've integrated our families over the last year, and now people have started to meet and things like that. That's just been my favorite part.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah, and I think just kind of with East with the kids, it's just like, you know, you just had Nona and Gumpa come in, and then you had Grammy and Grandpa, and then all of a sudden you have Grandma, who's my mom, who just shows up, and they're just like, I don't get it right now, at all. And you know, and again, like, it was new people. New people coming in into their lives that are new to us, and so we're all trying to just kind of keep it together. I know Easton and Wyatt, when they met my mom, they were kind of less like, who is this lady trying to hold me and hug me on me? I've never seen her before a day in my life. I was like, well, to be honest, neither have I. So we're gonna work this out together.
All right. Well, I think we will go ahead and end it there. I think we covered it pretty sufficiently. Hey, props to us.
Holy cow.
Congratulations. This is my longest podcast to date. Yeah, it's true.
I think that's because I'm most on. Things like it's are. My fault. Like, you know what?
Anyway,
you know, all right, what?
Guys, whatever. We're gonna end the podcast here. I hope y'all have a wonderful rest of your day. Stay tuned for more mini episodes this week. We have a super fun one coming at you later this week. That's gonna be a little bit different, but hopefully, will be super entertaining. So, stay tuned. Have a great rest of your week. As always, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, creative criticism, we have an email, caffeineandchaos3@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Caffeine and Chaos or on Instagram at Caffeine and Chaos. So feel free to shoot messages. We always love feedback and comments and interaction. Also, stay tuned on the Instagram this week, because there's going to be some challenges and games to keep us all busy and occupied through this quarantine. So have a wonderful rest of your day again, and we'll catch y'all later.